Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here. Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
So, this guy is he's an actor, a writer, funny as hell. He worked at Happy Madison. Thing I like about him is we met. I was doing a voiceover, and he ended up doing a voiceover, and we both got paid for it. And he actually, his ends up, he's in Act of Valor. He does the voiceover. He is just a good dude from Boston. I mean, Boston, New York, normally the teams, Boston Red Sox, don't get along with the Yankee guys, but Boston guys and New York guys really get along out here in L.A. because it's like we have to survive on that whole East Coast vibe. He went to military school. You're going to find all about that. And there's, you know, we talk about some serious issues on this. And we also have a lot of fun. We break balls. This is a really good episode. Listen up. And hopefully we don't have to edit anything. He wants to listen to everything because he's worried about if anything can make him look in a bad light. But I think you guys are actually going to get to hear the full episode. And his name is Jake Head and Jacob Head. You can IMDb him. You're going to really like this dude. He's a good dude. He's a fucking Boston fucking guy. That's it. He's wicked fun. Brooklyn Buddha. So this guy is this guy worked. He used to work for Happy Madison. He does voiceovers. He's an actor. He's a writer. I don't think he's directed anything yet, but he's always working. We met at a voiceover audition, and this he's a good guy, but he doesn't know I actually recorded the voiceover for the movie Act of Valor, and I walked out and I met him, and I was like, oh hey, and we were talking, and it was called a voiceover to, or audition to work, that's what they call it. So I went in, I did the audition, and then they hired me, they paid me. And then he ended up doing it as well, and his voice is on it. They wanted a New York guy, but they went with this guy, and he's a Boston guy. So, you know, New York is not happy with this guy. But anyways, but it was a, you know, award-winning movie, Act of Valor, and about the Navy SEALs.
Oh, yeah.
And my buddy Alex Vidov is the star. He plays the Russian. And anyways, so that's it. This guy's a great guy. My boy Tim Homeyun is here, of course.
Hello.
And Woody, what's up?
Hello, hello.
Woody's texting somebody. Girl, did you get any pussy?
No, Wicked Dry Spell.
Wicked Dry Spell, is that
Wicked
her name?
Wicked Dry Spell.
Is that her name? Oh, Wicked is because he's from Boston.
Wicked.
Wicked. Fuck, Wicked. All right. But without further ado, my buddy Jake Head, and he calls himself Jacob Head in Hollywood, just in case Jewish people are casting movies.
that's the best advice I ever got.
So, did you go out for the town?
No.
Did you go out for the McCarthys?
I did go out for the McCarthys.
Oh, you did?
Yep. I actually ended up meeting the guy that ended up playing it.
Jimmy Dunn. I think he's going to do my podcast.
Oh, great.
He's a comedian that kicked around for many years.
Right.
Many years in Boston.
Right.
You know, a main guy who was not famous. They did a Farrelly Brothers movie and some shit, and now he's, I think he just came out here and bought a house or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he, I didn't.
Is this thing a hit? Party.
I don't know. I don't know if it's coming back.
I don't
know
if it's going
to
go.
It's tough, man. It's tough to get a show up like that. I mean, just pilots in general.
Right.
They're difficult.
Right, exactly.
But cool. I caught an episode of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, I know they shot it with who's.
But I was up for that role.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
that you've been working my with, alley. Your number one fucking love interest, what's his name? Joey McGuire? Or what?
Joey
McIntyre.
Joey,
he would have played your brother.
Yeah, he would have played it, yeah.
That's
what it could have should have.
You would have been playing, and you would have been fucking great. So I'm sure you went in and knocked out the part.
Yeah, you know, auditions are like 50-50 with me.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? It's like, I just, you know, it's a tough nut. I always tell everybody, oh, you know, everyone's always crying about the business. I'm like, hey. Auditions are 50-50.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anytime, like, people get the fucking pity party, I'm like, yeah, I've been in the room. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're not 100%, and there's nothing you can do. You know what I mean? And casting director's got a tough job. But I'm about, right now, I'm probably like, you know, 90% of the time, I kill it. I had a good audition with that one. It wasn't great. This was before I used to get stuff like kind of like last minute. Mm-hmm. Now it's like when you get time and, you know, I think you were saying, I was listening to a podcast, Tim, that you don't get time with the lines. I'm not, you know, I'm a trained actor. I'm not, you know, I'm not a spokesman. Mm-hmm. So it's like you get a little time with it, which I realize is, you know, with the turnaround with things, you gotta be right on it.
Right. Right. So this pile of seasons not been good for you?
Yeah, I got out on a few. Nothing too crazy. You know, crashed a couple.
Are you going like out to any commercials or anything?
Commercials. I just did everything up with those. A few. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm doing a lot. I'm starting to move into, you know, starting to create a lot of my own stuff now.
Like, well, that's the thing. We just wrote and shot a. It was a web series, and it came out so good, just the pilot, that's now a TV series. Like, we're not going to be posting on Facebook or nothing. Like, we're going to be pitching it. Me and Tim, it's called Not For Nothing, and our buddy Jerry Houck, and then Eddie Velez directed it, and now Eddie's going to be one of the creators as well.
That's the amazing thing nowadays, that it doesn't have to be a big budget, you know, movie to get discovered. Friends of ours, and I'm sure you've seen guys are getting discovered with their cell phone.
Creating
videos on freaking YouTube.
The YouTube, that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we did one. It was similar. They did it like a web series. It was called The Hub.
Okay.
And I was playing like a Boston jackass. I don't know how they found me, but it was like, you know, because technically I'm from Worcester.
Are you from Worcester?
Yeah, I'm from Worcester. I'm from the heart of the country.
I used to perform in Worcester.
Where?
Fucking Worcester. So what is that street? Like, I would go from Norwich, Connecticut, and it was, what was that highway
you
to
take
Worcester?
You take the, well, it's 95.
Was it 95?
You got 90? You take the 95
like
up to the 90. Oh, it's like straight up. It's like fucking
is
two.
Is it the 90? Yeah.
Yeah, the 95. It goes, runs right down the whole eastern seaboard.
Yeah, there was a comedy
club. You go right through Connecticut, you know, through
Lenny York. Lenny Clark's brother booked the comedy club, Mike Clark.
Lenny Clark.
Yeah, you know Lenny Clark is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the big, you know, Rescue Me, everything.
He's great. Yeah. I got a couple mutual friends. He's a friend with a buddy of mine, Chris Meyer.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. You know everybody.
Chris Meyer.
Chris produces for the Farley Brothers. Nice guy out of Boston. And then there's another guy, Chris Neville, who was my battle buddy out here for years. He just went back east. He's working back there now. He's done a lot of shooting back there. So he got Ted. I actually read for Ted. He ended up booking a part on it.
Oh, okay.
Ted 2.
Ted 2.
So he worked, he had a scene with Lenny.
I can't wait till Ted
8. I haven't met Lenny Clark yet. Have you met Lenny Clark yet? You'd like him, I bet.
No, of course, yeah.
He's a freaking good guy, from all accounts.
Lenny Clark is such a talent. I actually wanted him to play my father in a pilot I wrote.
Yeah.
A gambling series. And then he lost all the weight, and I just didn't think he was right for it anymore. Because he used to be really big.
Right.
When I he's fat. When I first started, he was, and Tim remembers, he was the host of Sunday Comics.
Yeah.
Which, as a comedian at 19, I was like, oh my God, if I could get this show, this would be amazing. And they shot it here. I think it was in there for the Laugh Factory or Comic Strip Live or something like that. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. But anyways, so who were you? Were you in like Affleck, or did you know any of those guys? Or Maddie? Like, do you know Tom Downey? I just started in a movie with Tom Downey.
No.
Do you know Tom Downey
from
Boston?
No.
Him and Affleck and Matt Damon were real all good buddies. Now that it's moved apart.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're all on different wavelengths.
I was never into that crew. You know what I mean? I didn't know them. It's kind of like Boston and the Cambridge area. I wasn't.
Right.
Worcester's a little different. Don't get me wrong. I work with them.
Right.
But like, even like I had some mutual friends with Wahlberg. A buddy of mine is like his stuntman. Does his stunts, yeah.
Know Jay Giannone?
No.
Noni?
No. Sounds familiar. I could know people by face. I was telling you yesterday, man. I know a lot of
people
from by
Boston.
Face.
He used to be in like, well, he tells me, and no disrespect if you weren't, I don't know, I haven't Googled it, but Jay Giannone, he was in, he's an Iceman. Did you see Iceman?
I like the Iceman. That was a good movie.
Yeah, he's like that cop or whatever that sits there with what's it called. He sits in the diner. And that's J.G. Noni. He's always working. He's always working. And he used to be, I think he was like in Wahlberg's entourage back in the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was his thing. Like, but I think he got away from like drama and all those guys.
Right. I never
Nacho
got in there.
Nacho and all that, fuck, you know, those guys.
But I knew a couple, like a couple of my buddies that were a little bit older than me from Worcester. I used to hang out with them, but then they had nothing to do with the business. They were just they
were. What are you in your 30s now?
30s, late 30s, late 30s,
late
30s.
But you still look young. I mean,
yeah, I still play young. Like this one, I was telling you, the Hub. It's like I'm playing like a, you know, I'm playing like a
frat
rock head out of like, you know, a couple years out of like high school, just freaking doing nothing.
But you have that fucking reel with your hair's all long and shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I like to get into the freaking character and stuff like that.
You know, yeah,
and just get into it, man.
Right.
You know, like lose it for a sec. I come back.
Where did you study?
I studied with a guy named Aaron Spizer.
Oh, great! So yeah. Out here.
So I never you started. I played football in college. Okay. Didn't have anything to do with acting. Didn't do anything growing up. I wanted to make money and meet girls, and I was like, you know, like I said, I went to military school. I never went in.
Okay.
Most of my buddies, you know, they spent their whole lives in war theater.
Right.
Come out here. They come out visit me in California, like, holy shit. You know what I mean? But right. I never did. I got into it out here with Spizer. Spizer was good, gave me some good advice, got lucky early, so I kind of, like, I got a taste, and I kept going, you know?
Did the football training, the discipline help you when you started?
I think
acting?
So. Yeah. I think one of the best things you can learn, and this is why people like Jimmy, I'll kiss your ass for a second, that's it, once, is, like, you know, we were talking, it's like, you're in a very team-structured environment. And a lot of times, some actors can be in that selfish environment where it's right. all about me, it's all about the camera. Right. I got a post-production background. I come from a military school, and I played football. And it's all about, like, the team element. Yeah, sure, I think, like, you know, acting's important. I mean, you gotta have the right... But you gotta appreciate the writer who put the time in, the director who's trying to guide the damn thing, the producer who's putting the money in.
Yeah.
A lot of actors don't understand. It's fucking... It's expensive to put a movie in here. You can't be, you know, you can't show up late. You can't come on. You're not off book.
Right.
You're not ready to work. So, I think it's. If I had a kid that wanted to do like show business, and first of all, I talk him out of it like a good father. Mm-hmm. But second of all, I tell him that you got to play like team sports, because a lot of times not all actors. There are some good schools. Like I think Yale does a good job.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
The
kids that come out of there are like they're really like you always know in theater.
Right.
Who's from where? Like, you know, the kid's doing a rock exercise, and it's like, dude, we got 2 hours on the stage. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I think football definitely helped with the resiliency. I mean, you're getting rejected. You know, you're getting, you know, you're losing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things football teaches you is and it's one of the not the wins and losses, but the metaphor for life is you're going to get knocked down by things that you don't see coming.
Right.
And you just got to get up and play it again next play. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even not getting, I was really close on Rules of Engagement.
Right.
You know, you're doing a show at a dumpy, I was doing a show at the Complex, A Bed and a Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I take classes at the Complex.
Yeah. So I was doing a play there, and it's like not the...
And you have a Complex, Woody.
And you have a Complex. It's not the nicest theater, but it's like someone was in the audience that night. They made a call, and I'm reading for Rules of Engagement.
Right.
You know what I mean? I told you. And then it's like, you know, David Spade ends up taking it.
Then this fucking guy, no one ever heard
of. Yeah, no one ever heard of.
David Spade takes the part.
And you're just like, so you read, you do a great job, and it's like between you and another guy, and then nobody gets it. David Spade gets it, which is good. He did a great job on it, but it's like, it knocks you down.
Yeah.
And then the military environment is hurry up and wait and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And be ready to go when you're called. Because a lot, like I was talking to my buddy, he's like, many tours, Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, he's looking at Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he says that. It's like, we're joking, but it's kind of true. It's like, you know, acting is a lot like the military. You train. You know, we really want to get work. They actually don't want to get work. But when you do get the call, you got
to
go. You got to be ready.
You
just got
to
be ready to go.
Award.
And if you're not, and it's, you know, it's obviously clear on the differences. But, yeah, you got to get ready to go. You're off, and then you're on. You got to take it back. I'm definitely not one of those method guys that gets, like, lost. I'm not going to booze my...
Right.
Like, I worked with a kid. He's a great actor. And he, like, literally gave himself an ulcer.
Damn.
Just drank through the whole fucking...
Who? You don't want to say his name?
No, I don't. But he's a great actor.
I'll mention
his name later because he's... he deserves it, but...
put it together. Later, his name will come up, and then we'll know he's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. But yeah, the answer, yeah, absolutely. I think that training is great. And, you know, there are some actors that
got
it.
Where did you play football?
I played football at a small military college up in Vermont. And I played at the state champions, Daugherty High School in Worcester.
Sweet.
We performed
in Burlington, Vermont. They used to have a comedy club.
Yeah. Burlington's a great city.
Yeah.
Coat Factory.
Yeah.
Huh?
Coat Factory?
I don't know if it started.
I performed in aisle 5 at the Burlington Coat Factory. That's tough where times. I worked on my first set. Yeah.
They paid you with alterations.
True story. I go into Burlington Coat Factory to get off subject, and I'm trying on my clothes. Like, this is like back in the day, and I'm trying on. My dad's taking me school shopping, and my dad's like, you know, he's a handsome old man, but he's standing there, and I see this girl come, and she's walking, her nipples are popping through her shirt, and I'm like, oh, man. And the way it used to work was, if you remember, Burlington Coat Factory was like about 10 booths that you could go in, and it was like almost in the middle of everything. Like, it wasn't like in like a little room, then you go into another room. It was just like right in the open. So I see her.
No.
So I climb in. The fucking, I got it, Dad, I'm going to try these on. And he stays, all right, I'll just wait here. So, and I'm like counting 1, 2, 3. And I know she's probably just past them. And I go, nice tits, baby.
No. Right?
And he goes, you bastard, Jimmy. He knew instantly. Like, and she goes, oh, dirty old man. Like, and it was like he could get away with it.
Right.
Dirty old man, but it was like, you son of a bitch. Jeez. And he goes, she did have nice tits. She had nice tits. Like, but it was so funny, Burlington Coat Factory.
Did you get a whacking for that?
Oh, yeah. He used to, man, he hit me. He used to hit me with a belt. Of course, no. I mean, I was in high school then. But yeah, I mean, I loved him. He died in 2009, but he was disciplinary, man.
Yeah.
You know, I got hit with the... You're Irish, 100% Irish?
No, my mom's side of the family, so I'm 100% American. But
American.
I'm American. I was born, you know, here, but my mother's side of the family is from Finland. My father's side is Irish.
Oh, it's okay.
Head is one of those names that bounces between English and Irish. Right. So everyone's like, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, be at a bar sometimes, they're like, oh, you're English, and I'm like, I'm fucking, I'm told up, yeah, I'm Irish, because my grandmother's side is actually, which is, you know, that's the only, you have those little problems in with white people only in the Northeast. It's like, you know, everyone gets real specific about where your origin is from Europe. You know what I mean? But my family's always been like, you know, whatever.
It's so funny because I'll ask people in the audience and I'll say, hey man, you're Italian. You know, what's your nationality? You go, oh, I'm American. I go, oh, he's a jerk off. Like, it's like, how do you not know?
No.
And people nowadays don't know.
They don't.
Younger kids, like, what's your nationality? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Are you fucking, what the fuck? You don't know what a nationality?
The first question.
Man, I'm not racist. I don't want to get into politically correct bullshit.
I was telling my buddy that the other day. I was talking about, like, I always think it's weird when, like, say, if you refer to someone as Latin, and then they get mad, like, because they're like, oh, I'm Guatemalan, or
you can't
I'm Mexican, or the, and it's just like, man, when you call me gringo, when you call me white, I don't like, hey man, I'm Scandinavian.
That's
right.
I'm gonna use that.
I'm from Sweden.
That's in my book.
That's your act that you never do, Woody. You're like my wife with her act. She's like, that's in my act. She thinks she's a comic.
Right.
She's got 2 hours of material written. You know what I mean? But we'll never get up.
Hey,
did you do stand up at all?
I never did. I never did. But on that last one, it is the first thing people ask you when you go home. When you ask a girl, hey, what are you? If I ask her, hey, what are you? Jimmy, what are you? And you know, you're like, oh, I'm freaking, what are you, Irish and Spanish, right? Or Puerto Rican?
I'm Italian-Irish.
Italian-Irish. Yeah. You're Italian-Irish.
And I'm an eighth Spanish.
Yeah.
So I'm Spain.
But it's like, when somebody asks you that back home, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm Irish and Finnish. You know, like right off the bat, you know what they're asking.
So are you?
I never did stand up though. I never. I always hung out with a lot of comedians.
Well, of course, Nick Swartzen, our good friend.
Nick Swartzen, he's great.
So you were at Happy Madison doing ADR, right?
Explain
to people what that is.
I worked for Sony Pictures, so I was what they call a production coordinator, and what I would do.
Just a little company.
Little company, Sony Pictures. Yeah, I was bartending.
Day in and day out with Sandler.
I was a bartender.
Guys,
yeah, when they would come in, like, he was, you know, he's banging out. I mean, he still does it. He was doing, like, you know, 4 or 5 movies a year. And when they would go to post-production, I mean, he was all in the family. You know what I mean? He had every, you know, the actors and, you know, all his guys. He was a machine. He is a machine.
I heard that Dante would come in and do nothing. Peter Dante would never write. He'd just come in, so what, I'm in this movie? Like, he would never write. But, like, everybody. Like,
he's a person. He doesn't have to. He's a personality. Yeah, the guy's freaking hilarious.
You guys know who he is, Peter Dante. Yeah. You know, from Grandma's Boy, and you know, mm-hmm. just in everything.
But I was, I didn't, I wore, I was like, so I was like a subsidiary for them. So I would, like, they would, when they would go use the mixing stage, they used to work on like the Cary Grant, the Holden.
Right.
These are like the big premier mixing stages in town. Like, Boss was a guy named Richard Branca. He was a big sound legend. He used to book them all. And my buddy Rizzuto, he got me the job there. He was a kid from Revere.
Okay.
Italian kid, and now I think he works over at Paramount.
Fucking Revere. I used to
Good kid, though.
To perform out there in Revere. And
parents were smart, got him out of there, went to school.
What's the name of that place? The Palace? The Comedy Palace.
Yeah, yeah.
In, what was the name of the town? Do you remember the comedy? In Andover.
Andover,
it was
Mass.
In Andover,
yeah.
Mass.
Oh, okay. I never been out there.
All the time. Me and Dwayne, that's one of the places me and Dwayne.
Dwayne Perkins. Yep.
And Dave Russo.
I met Dave Russo. Yeah. It was like some Mikey the Planet, like some like sports guy. And I was drinking with, it was like all these Boston legends. You know what I mean? I was like Glenn Ordway, you know, who's a big commentator back there. Bill, what's his name? Bill the Duke.
Bill Buckner? Who's the guy who lost the game? Bill Buckner?
You know what? No, I'm glad you brought that up. Because the funny thing is people forget, like, Bill Buckner made an era. If you look at the numbers, he had a great series.
He was a great player.
First of all, it wasn't even the last game.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was the last inning. You know, and Roger, Big Roger doesn't take Fat Roger. I can't call him. I don't want to run into Clement. He's a big dude. But they had another game.
That's
they,
the one. They, I
everybody blames
fat.
Billy
I
Buckner.
I thought Roger Clement.
And it was like
fat.
The guy was stellar, playing hurt.
And yeah. He had a really full career.
Fucking guy was great. And
Tim was a nerd baseball collector.
But
he knows all the stuff. He knows all the stats.
It's like the Bartman of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's like the Bartman of Chicago. Chicago had plenty of chances when the Cubs, they blame it on Bartman? Some guy trying to, everybody else in the stands was trying to get that fucking ball. They blame Bartman? Suck it up, get back in the game. It's fucking baseball. He's one, because I played football, right? And I was never a clutch player.
The Red Sox fan can't control himself my studio.
I just thought that,
it would have been over. I'm just saying, it would have been over.
It would have been over. Like, it would have been over. But you know what? It wasn't. And it's a team game. You got to fucking make up for mistakes.
Well, that was the closest they come. They probably would have won the World Series if they won that.
Well,
that,
so here's the thing. So
I think Clemens doesn't come out of that game. You could have said, I mean, it's a World Series.
So let's talk about Moneyball for a second.
I worked
second,
on Moneyball.
Right? So Moneyball, you know, that's, as I, you know, I don't normally ask this question, but we'll ask, like, so my man crush is, like, Brad Pitt. I think he's cool. He's handsome. Like, we're going to be boys someday. Like, that's my thing. Like, who's your man crush in the business?
In the business? Does Brady count? He's a celebrity, right?
Yeah. Brady counts. As he's wearing the
Ugg. Yep. Yeah, as long as we act, it probably helps.
Tom Brady?
Yeah. Tom Brady. He's
a
movie.
Handsome man.
Yes.
All right, well, Jimmy's not a sports fan.
What? Oh, of course. I know Tom Brady, of course. You just like him because he's fucking Giselle.
Sniff his penis. I'm not as like crazy. I'm not as crazy as like some of the guys in Boston. Like you see like him like the YouTube shit. I'm like, all right, guy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that with?
He's sniffing the fucking...
sniffing Tom Brady's penis.
Oh, my God.
Because of Giselle.
You see him jump off that... He jumped off that cliff. She's like, are you going to do it, Tom? And he's like, fuck, yeah. Woo! And he's like, yeah. Like, halfway through, you see him, like, shit his pants. He's like, what did I just do?
You know, a girl... Yeah, Giselle... Yeah. A woman would make you do that.
Yeah, like, I would never fucking do that.
Yeah.
I would never do... Like, my girlfriend Drea Castro... She's like, she's in the like.
What is she, Filipino?
She's Filipino.
100%
yeah.
Filipino?
100%, yeah.
That's just like Asian Latina. There.
Yeah, she's.
That's what that is. Asian Latina.
As they say, I outkick the coverage.
Right.
So she's into that traveling and stuff like that.
Well,
like,
wait, she's Filipino, so what's your thing? Your peck? Does that mean like sex or something?
I haven't heard that.
What? That's Vince's.
No, but it doesn't. Give a fuck about Vince.
No.
What's it mean?
It's penis.
Peck. So I next time you tell her, you know, tell her, hey, honey, suck my backpack.
Oh, God,
suck my backpack.
Backpack.
Peck.
Is it penis or a vagina?
I think maybe it's the vagina. I don't know.
She speaks it, so I'll be able to get it.
Just say Jimmy.
I'll be able to get an interpretation on that.
Just say Jimmy said, what's peck? She'll laugh her ass off.
Can I tell the audience, when Trey is big into like Facebook, and she did like we announced it on like the Facebook like relationship, and she was single for a while. I was single forever. Yeah. And then so we posted on the Facebook, you know, that's a fucking thing. So the kids are doing. She's a lot younger than me. Yeah. She grew up with that.
Yeah.
So they announced it on the Facebook like the kids do.
Yeah.
So I get half my buddies, I got to block them because they're putting up like, yes. You know, they're dropping like gay bombs, yeah. Calling me the F word. It's like, come on, guys. You know, the boss. Sure. They're not malicious. They just don't realize you can't say that.
Of course.
But, and then, so we get one from Jimmy, and Jimmy's like, hey, congratulations. Amazing. I thought you guys were both gay. I started laughing. I was like, fuck.
That's so funny. Cause, you know,
but I got like 100 of those. It was funny.
You know, she told me you got your pictures taken by Matt Stacy. She didn't tell me she could do my headshots.
She's great.
But she told me to go to Matt Stacy.
Yeah.
She was the one. That's who I went to. Stacy Photography.
Getdrea.com.
GetDrea.com.
Twitter @GetDrea. But yeah, she's shooting right now. Fuck, I think she was going to text me though. She's shooting some like famous chef or something.
Yeah.
She was going to bring here today.
My boy is Tony Luke.
Who's Tony Luke?
He's a chef. He owns Tony Luke's in Philly. You know, cheesesteaks, sandwiches. Everything.
We'll go there.
He's opening 3 of them out here soon.
Shit, if I get any
Tony,
slower.
I'm fucking giving you a shout out, bro.
Hey, Tony, I need to. Well, if things get any slower, I'm going to have to sling some fucking cheese.
Well, the other day, Bobby Costanzo, you know, the actor, he played Joey's dad on Friends. So he takes me so I show up, it's Tony Luke. This is when I met them, and now they're all my boys and fans, and they retweet my shit all the time.
Right.
It was, and James Russo's there. I'm like, you got to be fucking. So James wants to do the podcast. I don't know if he's going to do it, Jimmy. But if he does it, you know what I mean? And he tells me, man, he's got some stories from being on set, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's in that scene where, he rapes Farrah Fawcett.
That's Extremities. Yeah.
He's in Extremities. That
Farrah
Fawcett's
movie. Still stunning.
But, I mean, yeah. Her nipples are still fucking coming out of the... She's dead. Did she die?
Yeah,
she died.
Yeah. Whoa, she's dead?
Yeah.
Don't talk about a dead person's nipples, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What's the other thing? Maybe it was Raquel Welch. Remember her Raquel nipples? Welch is still alive. Yeah, that's the one. Well, I remember. But Farrah Fawcett died of cancer, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wait, she died when Michael... Was it Michael Jackson died?
That was a three. It was her, Michael Jackson, somebody else.
Yeah, it's always in the rules of three.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
always... You know, like... I was trying to write a joke about that, but my wife's like... She's like, oh, someone at work died today. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, my friend died back in New York. And then she's like, it happens in the rules of three. Happens in, like, she freaks out until the third one dies. Right? And she freaks out. Like, I'm like, oh, that cat over there died. She's like, it doesn't count with animals. Like, rule of three.
Dude, it's the worst. Like, being on the plane with the New Yorkers. I was on with a Long Island one. You know, the real, like, traditional, like, you know, rosary bead Catholic. So everyone on the plane's flipping out, right? And we're going down. It's over Colorado. We hit the turbulence. When you see like the flight attendants crying,
yeah.
But you made me think of it when you talk about like the real.
See the flight attendants.
Oh,
crying.
The flight attendants crying.
Shit,
yeah, the cockpit's like nothing from the cockpit. Nothing. I'm like, something, guys.
You don't hear nothing.
This is routine.
She's just ripping through the minibar.
Oh, dude. I'm like, I was gonna go on the wagon, but I was like, fuck that. I was like, anyway. Long story short, this woman's from New York. She's one of the traditional, like, cats. She's got the beads out, and she's screaming, ah! And I'm like, right here. I'm right next to her. I'm like, and I know we're dead. I know it's over.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all right, this is my last five minutes, whatever, on Earth. I am not going out with this woman. Fucking screaming at the Long Island, oh, my God, we're going to fucking die! Like, right in my ear the whole time. So I grab her. I'm like, hey, honey, we're not going to die today. She's like, what? I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. Back of my mind, I know we're fucking dead. I know it's over.
Right.
The plane is crashing into the Rockies.
Right.
I mean, I've already got it. I was like, you know, it's a good life. I've made peace. I just saw my family.
Yeah, right.
And those are some other things I wanted to do. But, you know, this is the way you want it, God.
Forget that.
The way it's going to be. But anyway, it reminds me of, like, the traditionalists. You know, it's going to be threes. What do they call them? What is that thing? The word you guys use. They're superstitious.
Yeah, superstitious. Well, this when I used to deal. I used to deal craps at Mohegan and Fox in the day. So these guys would like, hey, don't put the dice on 7. Like you're pushing them out, and I go, look, sir, it's bad luck to be superstitious. I used to always say, and they go, what? Oh, that's funny. Like, because I used to fuck with the guys, the mafia from Providence.
right. You know? And people were like, dude, you can't, they're really mafia guys. And I'm like, what, they're in purgatory between New York and Boston? They can't make a choice? They're like, dude, don't joke about this. So next thing you know, I don't know if you remember Jimmy Pines, and he's like mob guys. And they would, and they befriended me, and then they take me to Providence, and we go to Federal Hill.
Yeah.
And we go, you know, yeah. We well,
that's,
eat.
Yeah, that's where the bachelor party's at, because it goes down. I mean, not that I've been there. Federal. But something goes on. The Providence.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Like people used to, it was like a code with it, because Worcester, you know, a lot yeah. of those New Yorkers.
You knew Dan Smith, right?
I knew Danny Smith, yeah.
He moved back to Worcester.
I know he did. Yeah, I see him when I go back there. I think one of his kids might be going in the Army. I'm trying to get him to go to Norwich. And then he's like, he's killing it back. He's still doing comedy back there.
He was dating this girl, right?
That little girl, he could pull, couldn't he?
Yeah, he had game. He had game, this he little game, short man. Fucker, right?
Yep.
But this girl was nothing to pull. You know what I mean? Uh-oh. Pull her in front of a car. Whoa. Like, she was. So we show. So I go, me and Dwayne, and Dan's like, oh, this is my, you know, this girl for the day or whatever it was.
Right, right.
And she looked like Michael Jackson with the Jerry curl.
Wow.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, she kind of had, like, a nice body, but her hair was horrible.
Right.
And I said, Dwayne, I go, is it me or she looks? And then Matt Iceman, I'm going, you know,
Matt Iceman, nice
the host
guy.
Of Ninja Warrior and stuff.
Well, a pretty good show, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to do the podcast, too.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, Matt said he'll do it, so we'll get him up. And he goes, and I'm going, doesn't this bitch look like Michael Jackson with the Jerry curl from Billie Jean? Like freaking out. And the whip sword. And then once I told him that, he'd never seen her again. Dad's like, fuck that. Yeah. Like, he was like, brutal. Like, I mean, I used to be pretty bad, like bang a girl, never talk to him again, or bang him.
Hey,
I used to do shit like, I remember I used to stop in Connecticut on my way to Boston
yeah.
or back to New York City, and I'd do shows, and then, you know, I go back and forth and do shows, and I was at the Comedy Connection right. all the time. Then I'd drive back to New York City instead of staying, or, you know, like I'd stay with my buddy Jim Lauletta.
Right.
Or, and it was like, fuck, but I've stopped this girl, and I used to be the king of dickheads.
Yeah.
And I would tell Tim, and Tim just, I don't know how he dealt with whatever he deal with the girls.
Right.
But I would go, you know, I'd stop there and I'm like, hey, look, I got a girlfriend and stuff. I'm just going to stay here and crash. Yeah. I'm too tired. The 95 is full.
Right, right.
And it'd be like, you know, like 11:30 at night or something. And she's okay. And can we just cut out? Yeah, whatever. And I go to sleep. 2 hours later, I wake up. I'm pushing her head down, suck my dick.
Hey!
Come in her fucking mouth. And then.
Jeez.
And then as soon as I come, literally, my balls aren't even empty yet. Like, I'm still coming a little bit. I'm like, you know, we're friends. We shouldn't do this. Like, right? And then I fall asleep again for another 4 or 5 hours. And then I get hard again, like, wake up, you know, piss hard on in the morning, and I've got to get back. And then I'm, like, pushing her head down. And then as soon as I go, I'm sorry, we're friends with you.
All right. Thank
I
God.
I was horrible.
Ladies, very happy.
That's why Jimmy. I'm married, ladies.
Glad Jimmy's married. Oh, my God.
I was a
but
dick.
But you comedians are crazy. You go all around the world. You guys are like, I always tell people that. It's like, oh, you should do comedy. And I'm like, first of all, it's really fucking hard. You know, second of all, you guys got the nomad life if you want to make money, because you always got to go yeah. on the road. And second of all, third of all, my childhood wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Right. So you
but
have...
You, I remember, like, watching Danny and Dwayne and all those guys. I used to love when Danny Smith got a heckler.
Yeah.
He would tear up a fucking... He would tear up the heckler. He would, like... It was almost yeah. like he would get... I think he'd relish the heckler. He would just be like, bing, 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 bing.
Well, he's pretty sure... You know, I have, sharp, I have a funny story about Dan... So I'm coming back from a gig in New York, and
right.
I think he had a layover from like Boston to New York or whatever the deal was. And so my wife was gonna sleep or whatever, so he was like right near, so I just right. sat and we're talking, me and Danny. And then we get there, and I go, hey man, I have my car here or whatever the deal was. And I rarely, normally Dwayne would pick me up at the airport yeah. or whoever, you know, we'd always switch on and off. And he goes, hey, I'm taking the flyaway. I go, fuck it, I'll just take you.
Yeah.
So I take him to Van Nuys, and we get there,
yeah.
and there's no, his car's gone. He's like, fuck, maybe it's the wrong street. So he's looking,
okay,
he's like parked over, his car got towed.
Oh.
He is freaking the fuck out.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's going, and I go, look, it's no big deal, we'll just go. So I take him to the tow place,
yeah.
and I mean, he's like yelling at the girl, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, I could not believe the girl opened the gate because he's, like, fucking irate. Like, I fucked my carpet to be there. And comes and the girl opens the gate to the tow place. My wife's like, I would never open the gate if this guy's screaming at me to get my car. And she goes, I have to keep your car. We can't. He's like, no, it's my car. So then I go, look, I'll drop you off. He goes, I'm homeless. I don't have a home anymore. And I go, so my wife's like, what the fuck? He's homeless, right? He gets out of the car. Well, I can't. I'm home. I got to sleep on the street because they towed my. I'm going.
They towed his house.
I go, yeah, they didn't take your apartment. Yeah. Home, break into your fucking window. Dwayne's out of town. I can't. I'm fucking home. I go, dude, I'll just bring you. And I go, I'll just bring you back to my house. It's fine. And then my wife's like, nah, get him the fuck out of here. So she didn't want to deal with him because we dealt with him for a good 2 hours. Yeah. And he was so crazy. Oh. So I tell Dwayne.
Right.
And Dwayne goes, homeless? What the fuck? Danny is, you know, so I go to Dwayne's comedy special, his new comedy special this week, and he does the bit about Dan, who, Dan Smith, we love you, but we're breaking your balls, but he does the bit about how he stalks dirt. Have you ever seen this bit?
Never.
He says, Dan stalks dirt. He goes, like, I'm eating a sandwich, and I fucking put the sandwich down, I go to the bathroom, come back, the sandwich is gone, the plate is washed, and it's in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sink holder. And he's like, what? And he goes, and Dan's not even there. He goes, like one time he writes notes, post-its. Dear sink users. He's like, please put your plates away, rinse your plates, and wipe them down.
Oh, man.
He's like, sink users? I'm the only one who lives here with
roommates.
He was very anal.
Yeah. Well, roommates in general, I mean, that's like.
Well, is that military? If you're in the business
and you're getting on, and it's like, you get a little bit old, like I said, late 30s. But really, like, you got roommates, 20s. And you're like, it's like, oh my God, I got a roommate. It's like, that is like, you know, everything's great. And then it's like, you realize you got roommates, they just trash the house. Everything's trashed. I'm like, cleaning lady, like, maybe. I mean, it's crazy.
Tim has this older roommate
and another older roommate.
His youngest roommate's 50, right?
Yeah, just turned 50.
And
no way.
And he's, what is he? He's
comb over, porn stash.
What's the word? What is he? No, and he, like, lives. Like, he lived in, like, some Spanish land, Ecuador, or something.
Spanish land.
Like, but he's like this white guy.
Right, right.
And you would never think. And he's like, oh, I love Ecuador. I grew up in Ecuador. You're like, what the fuck? Like,
right, right.
And like, or Panama. Like, he's moving back to Panama or something.
Heard there's a canal there.
I'm like, you're going to move to fucking Panama? Like, you know. He's like, oh, it's great. It's great to live there. Anyways.
Right.
But Tim has these roommates. And so Tim is like, the thing you don't know about Tim. So Tim bangs all these fucking girls. Like,
jeez.
Like, he's been divorced for how long now?
A little over a year.
Right? And Tim's ran through a good 30 to 50 girls. Right?
Right,
no
right.
problem.
Mm-hmm.
All from the internet. Right? He is like internet.
Okay.
Pimp,
okay.
Right? So
that's the way to do it, I guess.
Not that many girls.
Yeah, so he's
they might be listening.
Because they might be listening, right? So he's
got. Get him in trouble. Jimmy, don't get him in trouble. Jeez, Jimmy.
I love the cock block.
It was three.
Jimmy the Red.
Like I said, I live vicariously through him now, and now I think I'm gay. Like, right? No, so Tim hooks up with these girls, and the funniest thing about this, Tim, is so I go with Tim. And we meet these older roommates.
Right, right.
And they're all like, you know, they're older. They're nice guys. And I don't know, Tim. And the guy goes, the guy says to me, Tim goes in the other room. And the one guy goes, he doesn't get a lot of girls, right? Because I don't want like a playboy living here. I go, look at him. He's no playboy. And then sure enough, right away, Tim's like, boom, 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 girls. And the guy's like,
playboy.
So now the guy is like, every time you hear Tim come in with a girl, Tim, he comes out of his room like in his boxers. You guys, are you doing? What's going on? Like, the older guy. So the other guy has an earpiece. It's like the biggest earpiece. It's like he's fucking
from like the 80s.
Flying to Battlestar Galactica. I mean, it's huge. It's for a phone. It's so funny. And Tim is just like,
well, I have to warn the girls because he had lost
late
a lot of weight.
Tell the lady.
He lost like 150 pounds, but he gets, you know, you know, he gets hungry, you know, so he has to, it's rather than scarf down a lot of food, he has popsicles. So he comes out, imagine a 65-year-old guy with an earpiece in his tidy whiteies.
Right, right.
And black boots just come at 3 in the morning, and while you're sitting on the couch, the freezer's on the bottom, so he bends over with these tidy whiteies, and he's just looking at this.
That's awful.
And you're like,
that's,
oh, God. They got to warn the girls. Working
that's out. L.A. living. That's at L.A.
Three,
living.
3 in the morning. But he's almost never there. But you go there, and it's like a hoarder's house. Like, Tim has, like, his room.
Tim lives at a whorehouse?
Yeah, a hoarder house. Yeah. So Tim has his room.
Come
and
on.
And then the other guy has the room. And the one guy is like, so Tim has, like, no internet because the guy is like, he's so selfish with the internet. So Tim is like, dude, I need the code. I can't remember. Just call Time Warner.
I never heard of this. Like, you can't go on. You know, when you try and get a Wi-Fi, you have to find, you know, which one. Then you got to put in a password.
Right.
He made it so it's not even listed. So you have to put there's a MAC address of all the electronics that you have to find that. He has to input it into whatever the router. Then it finally would just show up on your Wi-Fi list. Then you got to put the password.
You know what? Hearing your story, it's like, man, you always look at, that's a problem with the country.
Yeah.
False obituaries and perspective. People have no perspective. You know what I mean? It's like, that is, like, I'm going to go home, I'm going to give, like, my roommates a hug.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with them coming out with, like, we got, if we need the room, it's like, all right, hey, I need the room tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just Thunderdome.
You guys put like a sock on
there? No, I just say,
I got Dre in here. I got Dre in here.
Everybody stay. I cleaned it. It's mine tonight. Everybody get out of here. Get the fuck out.
Right.
Now, you know, you make the call. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And people, you know, it's like, because some people, they can't even have that grace. They got some, like, crazy person. They stuck in a room. You got to get out of there. Yeah. You got to get out.
No, but Tim's, it's like $500. It's like,
you can't beat it.
It's simple, you know.
When you're doing, I think, what we do, I mean, you make some, like, serious, like, I think it was who's the kid on, the short guy on, oh, my God, he's one of the best, he's on Game of Thrones.
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage said it best, like, when you hit it.
He called the midget short. He doesn't say midget. Little guy.
He's midget. He's
the short guy.
He's amazing. He's a midget.
He's great.
So
he's a midget.
He had that.
He's a midget.
I love you,
Peter. No disrespect.
He's great.
My boy.
But Peter had that speech. It was viral, and it's like, you know, he's like, I don't feel lucky. I made the set. I mean, he was living, you know, you're living in roommates, and, you know, there's a good chance you may or may not make
that. My good friend is little Nick Novicki.
He's great, Nick Novicki,
yeah.
You know him?
That's my boy,
I got to talk to you about him, about a project or something. I want, because I've met him a couple times. He's fucking, how's his stand-up?
You know what? His stand-up has gotten really good. He's actually getting out there performing a lot.
Yeah.
He wasn't for a while.
He was mostly acting.
But he's on Boardwalk. Well, we did a movie together, and he says to me, he goes, I'm on this Boardwalk Empire. It's a new show, and I didn't know about it.
Right.
He goes, I play Lucky Luciano's buddy and blah, blah, blah. And he tells me, and I'm like the king of the little people. So, like, you know, he had that scene with Buscemi, and he gives him the money. He sits up there, you know, he climbs up in the chair, you know what I mean? And anyways,
he climbs up in the chair. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, but he's great. And I go, oh, dude, Terrence Winter didn't write my he didn't do my episode of, or did Van Patten.
Right, you know? Right.
I go, Rodrigo Garcia, the famous director, he did mine.
Right.
And I go, those guys had nothing to do with it. And meanwhile, they did every episode of Boardwalk. So I'm like, fuck, they had nothing to do with my episode, so I could never get on Boardwalk.
Yeah.
It was no shot for me. Because what they did is they cast almost tons of people from Sopranos that were on Sopranos. I got really fucked over because Georgianne Walken cast me on Sopranos. And, that's Chris Walken's wife, of course. And then she just, like, didn't want to, I don't know, she just kind of retired, and she's not with Sheila Jaffe no more.
It's
Susan Paley Abramson or whatever. Yeah. Did you go up for 40? You know PJ Marino, right?
That's I know PJ,
up.
Yeah.
So me and PJ went up for 40. Did you go up for it?
No, I don't remember.
I got the call back, and it was Doug Allen's new project.
Oh, okay.
It was like Sex in the City with guys,
jeez,
right? It was Michael Imperioli.
I'd rather jump out a window.
I think it was Michael Imperioli.
You gonna play Sarah Jessica Parker's role?
No, I was going to play this like New York stockbroker. It was really great. But it was Imperioli, and I forgot who got the part, this one guy from Heroes.
Okay.
But it kind of came down to like me and him.
Right.
And he ended up getting it, and then it didn't get picked up. And I was like, how the fuck does the creator of Entourage show
what a tough business,
not
man.
Get picked up? So then he does another show right away called Brick City
right.
with Spike Lee, and that didn't get picked up. And then...
With Spike Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but anyways,
I saw the Capital One commercials on the thing. Those are awful. I watched the NCAA tournament. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
They were awful.
So one thing I want to ask you, so what was your first thing like? How did you get into the acting world? Was someone like, oh, you have this great look? Because you had the long hair then, right?
When I got in, it was I used to play like big jocks and like mentally slow characters. You know what I mean? Because when I first came out here, I was a fucking meathead.
Right.
Yeah, you know, weighed like 225.
You're toned now.
I would play like bullies and like big, like one of the first roles I got was like it was Don Belisario. It was on CBS and it was called First Monday.
And Don Belisario, isn't that Sit Ubu Sit?
Is it? I don't even know.
Sit Ubu Sit. Well, he's good dog.
He's huge.
At the end, Don Belisario.
He did Quantum Leap,
right.
NCIS, First Monday.
It was
First Monday. It was a guy named Scott Lawrence. He's pretty big now.
Right.
And I was like, I played like this kid on Death Row, but originally they had it. It was like a spinoff of like the Green Mile. That's how long ago it was.
Right.
But it was totally like they had a black guy and everything. And then they just wanted to change it because it read too much like that. So I went in and I played that one. You know what I mean? But that was like,
right.
You had to play like a big guy, and I was like, you know, like shave my head and everything like that.
Right.
And then I was always a bully. Just, I'm the nicest guy in the world, you know that, but they always have me like beating people up in like the shows.
Right.
So it was, that was really my first break. I got my agent, Denise DiStefano, a girl named, you know Nooch. You know Nucci, right?
Danny Nucci?
Nucci, she's a stand-up comic.
Oh, no.
Nucci, she's out of Boston. She's around. Nucci got me my first agent out of Aaron Spies' class.
Okay.
And then I did a couple Sprite commercial and stuff like that. So that was my first break. But as far as like getting it, I didn't start working a lot until a little bit after Swartzen Show was my break, where I was able to like, I made enough money with the voiceovers. And
what was it called? Pretty Time? Pretty Big Time or something?
No, it was called Pretend Time with Nick Swartzen.
Yeah.
So I saw Nick playing hoops with Sandler. And
he used to always invite me to play hoops.
Yeah.
And I was always like, did you know Magid? Mike Magid? He used to play with them sometimes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But anyways, I never end up going. I just don't have the game. I don't have the stamina like I used to when I was younger.
He just attacked me. So I was like playing one day, and this guy jumps on me. He's like, "Hey, it's for you," you know. So it's like then he started writing for Sandler,
right?
And he got that show, and then I got on that. But that was like I didn't do a ton of episodes, but it was like enough. It was like, okay, either you're gonna stay, you're gonna move up through middle management here, because you know that business, that structure of post production at Sony was obviously changing.
Mm-hmm.
So or you can fucking make the leap. So that the Active Valor voiceover, which is where I met Drea, by the way.
Oh, okay, because she's in the movie.
She's in the movie. And then, so that was it. So, I don't know, I kind of, like, I had a foot in, a foot out. I wasn't like you, always, like, just doing it.
Yeah.
So, I think, really, like, I've probably been more confident than I've ever have been, but I feel like I've only been doing it for, like, 3 years.
I remember, like, looking at your reel years ago when I first met you, and I was like, oh, man, you got this great reel. How come you're not working? So, you weren't, like, focused
on I thought I was, but I wasn't. It's, like, the amount of time... Like the amount of time you put in, you gotta really live it, and you can't hedge with like a real day job. I had a real day job, over 40 hours a week.
And that was at Sony?
That was at Sony.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was appreciative. I loved that place. It was great. Right. But it was like, it was a real job, so you couldn't, I didn't realize how far away. And I lived in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You might as well be in San Diego if you're living down there. You're not, the last thing you want to do is
so
go do a play.
Living down there?
Oh, it's fucking great. Are you kidding me? I spent 4 years in military college.
Yeah.
There was no girls. No, I mean, the partying was awful. Always ended up in, like, a fist fight. And it was like, you get down there, and it's like, oh, my God. This is how people fucking, wow. I go up and, it was crazy. So I was a bartender at Hennessy's.
Let me ask you a question. So, just to it's not off subject, but it is it is a problem.
What is it?
That in the military that they have with the, I just did the movie with Harry Lennox. It just came out. It's called Stand Down Soldier.
Okay. So
it's about a woman who gets raped in prison repeatedly. Or not prison, in the military.
Right.
And you know what I mean? She goes to Iraq and she has to be with these men.
Right.
How in military school, was there women in military?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know if it's the epidemic that they say it is.
Right.
Because I went to military college.
And you didn't see any problems.
There's always going to be problems when you have people, okay. A, in a war theater.
Right.
B, when you have young people.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a lot of politics. A lot of politics in the military. I just talked to a couple, like I said, my buddy's the colonel. What's the big problem? Rape is not a problem in their units. Does it happen? Right. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is it the epidemic proportions that they're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not very PC to say that because it's like, you know, as a country, of course we want to be good to our women. We all have moms.
Sure.
So it's like the UVA thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kids, they're blaming this fraternity for raping. She fucking made it up.
Right.
And the other thing is when people deploy, men and women do not want to deploy into a war theater all the time.
Right.
A lot of times people join the military, then the shit gets real when you deploy.
Right.
Now, I'm not picking on women, because I know a lot of grown men, when they're faced with that, you do what you can to get out.
Right.
One of the bigger problems that they face is people getting pregnant before they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you have to deploy with what you have. So my experience is you are trained, where I went to school was like, that's what you learned. You learned how to deal with not only civilians, but you learned how to deal being a leader.
Right.
So it's like, does it happen? I'm sure. Is it awful? Yes. Is it the epidemic proportions that they're saying? I don't know.
So you don't know.
I don't. And from what the people I talked to, they didn't seem to think it was.
Right. Well, like I just did this movie, and there were so many people from the screening that came up to me after, and they were like, you know, I was in the military, and they were just saying it was an issue.
It was a big issue.
Could be. Yeah. And like girls were coming up, you know, I was sexually harassed every day.
It's a male dominated environment.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie The General's Daughter? Oh, with John Travolta.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's movies.
Right. Sure, of course. Of course.
I went to school with a lot of guys. They were fantastic officers.
Right.
These, you know what I mean? They were really smart and sharp. And a lot of people, like, especially out here, they're like, oh, you know, just get these poor people, they're down. No. These guys are very educated from really good family. There's some fucking great people in the military.
Yeah, I noticed because I performed for the military. And,
yeah.
And
then we just did the El Centro Naval Base just last week.
It's certain, maybe whatever area, like some guys, they get a little out of hand. But it's not common. But I mean, some guys actually challenged me. When I was married, I was performing down in Virginia Beach, and like you said, some of them are real young, and they're letting loose. They're you know, they come from deployments, and they're drinking excessively, and they literally I'm sitting with my wife, and they'd like move over, and they're like challenging me over her. They're like, what are you doing with him?
Well, you know, on that, one of the things I've noticed, just like in general, like I was before Dre, I was dating some younger. I was dating a younger girl, you know what I mean? She was in her 20s, and it's like the gentleman quality that we had, and that goes to your story. Like, you know, maybe this could be, that's why I don't say it either way. It's like, is they don't treat the women like we do. It's the music, it's the culture. It's a little bit different because I was always a gentleman to a, you know what I mean? I don't want to get into that, but you know what I mean? It's like, but she was like, oh no, like guys, like they're not. It's not the same as we were kids. I mean, we did our things, but it was like, you know, kids aren't, they're not as gentlemen as we were.
Well, I do a bit called Just a Tip.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're like, hey, baby, come on, just a tip. Yeah. Let me just put just a tip, right? So a girl came up to me, a hot comedian last night, really sexy, well-known comedian. I'm not going to say her name. Right. But she said to me, and she said in front of Stephen Briggs, it was me and Stephen Briggs, and she goes, well, you know, that's a great joke. She goes, but what if a girl, when you just want to put just a tip, and then she says no, what do? Do you stop? And I took a second, you know, just to think. And then Steve was like, no, I definitely start, you know, that's rape. Yeah, I wouldn't do, you know, like, but, and I go, yeah. And she goes, wait, but you took a beat. Why'd you take a beat? And I go, well, because I was just thinking in my mind, you know, like, you know, what are you going for? Like, what was right. she talking about?
Right.
Because I have such a thing, like, rape is such a, it makes me so angry. Like,
yeah.
So when I watched the movie The Accused years ago, I was, like, punching the wall. Right. I was so upset about it. And then I did the TV show Without a Trace with Jonathan Kaplan, the famous director.
Right.
He directed Brokedown Palace.
Yeah.
He directed Jodie Foster and The Accused. And then my buddy Bobby Costanzo,
right.
whose best friend is Leo Rossi, who wrote The New Gotti, you know, right. all that stuff. And Leo Rossi was the one who was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, poke that pussy till it's sore. You right. know, like that whole thing when they rape her on the pinball Awful. Machine. Yeah. And that was this thing in upstate New York. It was.
No, that was that the Big Dan's rape case? That was in Boston.
Was it in Boston?
Oh, it was around.
I thought it was upstate New York. But the point is, yeah, rape is. It's just a you know.
We
fucked up issue, man.
We need to, you know, women are like, and what, it's one of the great things about women are need to be. They just should, in my opinion, should be on the pedestal. You know, society sure. really is judges how you treat your women, and if you treat your women well. You know, usually the society is more fulfilled. You know, and that's what, you know.
So do you have a mother and father?
My mom just recently died.
Okay.
And I was very fortunate. You know, I had really good parents.
So you had good parents. Yeah. And you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
So you have sisters. Do you have sisters older or younger than you? Are you the oldest?
My sister's the oldest.
Okay.
And I got three brothers. You know, my cousin was kind of close. So we all, you know, we all grew up in Worcester. And it was
right.
just a great place to grow up. Really, you know, really good people, really good families. And
right.
You know, but you got a little bit of the rough and tough. So you weren't mm-hmm. like, you didn't grow up in fantasy land, which I really appreciated. Dan, right. you know, Daniel will tell you that. So we, you know, we got a lot of everything in there, you know. Right. But it was, I see it changing, you know what I mean? And I just think, you know, we got to get back to some,
You need to respect your women, too.
You need to respect
your women. You need to pay attention.
Yeah, you need to respect your women.
So it's like in New York City. I don't know if you saw that viral video of the girl
yeah.
walking and the guys. Right. And people think, oh, that's fake. That's over a long time. But right. I can vouch, you know, because in New York City, you're walking everywhere. Right. You see
yeah.
these guys harassing women. And even if they're not harassing them, they don't understand. Like, they would talk to the women. And not get mad when the woman wouldn't respond back. And yeah. it, like, they don't understand it. Here's this woman who's probably not even from New York City,
right.
who's maybe new there, or she's just visiting, and then right. some fucking three creepy guys are yelling at her. Like, they don't understand. Oh, why isn't she? I said she's beautiful. Fucking lesbian, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they have no clue about, you know, not that I would know what being a woman is anymore.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I asked my wife, you know, because she would come in from Brooklyn and yeah. Into Manhattan to work, and she, you know, it's an hour. She was in Starrett City or Bay Ridge for, and she would take the. And I said, "Do guys ever like fondle yeah. you? You know, she has you know big top, you know."
Fun. Yeah.
And I go, "Did they ever fondle you?" And she's like, "Never, never." And I showed her this thing on tape the other day, on it was like on YouTube or it was I saw it on Facebook. About the girl, it took her 2 years, but they busted the guy. This guy was like 43, and she was like 20-something.
Right.
She was sleeping. He fingered her. Oh. They videotaped right. it. It was fucking insane. And yeah. the guy who videotaped it, he's like, well, no one else was doing it. I videotaped it so I could send it to the news. Well, you didn't send it to the news. He sent it to a fucking porn site, and it went all over the place.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was like, what is wrong with you? There's years ago. I wanted to be a comedian, and I went to I didn't want to be a comedian. It wasn't. I went to the guidance counselor, and I said, I want to do stand-up comedy. Yeah. And I go, they go, well, what else do you want to be? And I go, well, I want to be a bounty hunter. Like, I want to be a bounty hunter and catch rapists.
Right.
And, like, literally put them, like, in a warehouse and, like, light their dick on fire and then put it out and then fucking light their fucking hand on fire, put it out, and just torture them.
What?
To death. Like, this is what I wanted to do. Right. Like, it was like my thing. Like, I'm making up this career, you know, like this guy who catches rapists and torture them.
That's what he did for a living. You know, like, I'm a dick banner.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a dick banner, right? So literally, that was like, because I really just, rape is such a fucking thing that makes me so angry. Yeah. I go crazy over it, right? So,
well, you know,
wait. So I said this. He goes, well, I don't know if we can get you. He goes, what else you want to do? I go, or that, or a comedian. Like, it was a true story.
That's union, right?
Union.
So I think they're both union, depending on.
So
like,
he gives
town.
Me a thing, and he prints it up from the computer, like this old computer, and it was like Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Right.
He goes, you can go to clown school. So then I'm hanging out with my buddy Andy Devoli. You know Andy Devoli?
No.
He's from upstate New York. But he was on Sopranos. He played what's it called? Christopher's best friend. Forgot his Dino. His character was Dino. And he was in Knockaround Guys.
Yeah.
He was in Welcome to Collinwood. He's got he looked like a young De Niro. He has the mole.
Oh, okay.
Anyways,
yeah, yeah.
Andy. And he was telling me that, you know, he went to fucking clown college.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, he went to Ringling Brothers.
That's fucking a lot of people do that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's so weird, but it was kind of good to talk about what we just talked about, because it's like,
no,
and
then,
ladies,
you know, let me,
I want
let
you to
be clear
respected
about,
you know?
About, you know, that movie that you did. I mean, you know, like I said, I don't know the numbers
like
of rapes in the military.
Yeah.
My hope is that they're not high. You know what I mean? It's that rape is not happening in our military. It's like, because it is, and one of the things they taught us at school is it's everything's inclusive now.
Right,
you know what I mean, and you and those guys—they ask a lot of those guys. So I'll have to, you know, I'll see that movie, and you know,
yeah, it's a fucked up
thing to be in a battlefield and then be like rape. I mean, it's tough.
Well, I like the connection of rape as we're talking about acting career. I see.
Yeah, this
in Hollywood, you're getting raped every day. That's what we're saying. No. But it's a good thing. So anyways, there's a couple things I like to do on Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. I've had a great time with you, man. This has been a really good
man, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. Woody, Tim, you guys are great.
Is there anything that you want to plug?
Yeah.
Besides your butt.
Besides your butt. I got my new show coming out. It's called The Lady Killers.
Okay.
That's coming out in, it's probably this month. They're going to have an industry screening, so all my friends in the industry.
And what is this?
And stuff like that. A guy named Phil Larinus is a director.
Okay.
Bert Poulos, Jamie Kaler, Peter Shinkoda, they're all in it.
Oh, Jamie Kaler.
Jamie Kaler is a great guy.
You know,
it's
funny. I don't know him. We just know each other mutually. I was going to have him come on my podcast. But he's got the baby every poster.
Yeah.
The baby.
Dude, yeah, she's beautiful.
Like, this guy can't.
He's got two.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
He was on that show with Gaffigan.
He's in it. A couple of great females in there. Shania Grants, Jessica Kozak. I'm actually doing, I'm doing a couple web things with Jessica Kozak, and my new movie is going to be coming out. We're going to start shooting that one too. It's called Forward Progress.
Okay.
And it's Jessica Kozak in it. I wanted to play the quarterback, but I'm playing like the linebacker. And we kind of infiltrate a high school. Wait till we finish it up, but it's going to be a really good movie. Then I'm shooting a short called Vile, and then I'm the Lady Killers. What the hell else am I doing? I got another movie coming. Oh, A Fortune in Gold.
Yeah.
You'd love this character. Just playing like a total asshole. Just a total asshole.
You'd love him, Jim.
Yeah. He's looking at you, Woody.
He's a jerk. So that one's good. And the movies are coming out. And I go to jakehead.net. And then my Twitter handle is Jake O'Head. And then I'm on Facebook, Jakehead.
Okay. Excellent. So there's a couple things I like to ask as well. Like, you know, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
You've got your girl.
Yeah.
You've dealt with, you know,
I don't know. We'll see.
Over the, you know, over your career. And as a football player, I'm sure you got a lot of ass back in the day. So what would your porn name be if there was a...
My porn name?
Yeah.
He already has
Jake
one.
Head. Yeah.
Would there be Jake Head?
Jake Head is.
Is that Jake Head
Big
is?
Big Butts 4. Absolutely.
Or maybe Richard. That's what you're going to go with?
Yeah, right. Richard Head. Yeah.
Richard Head.
Haven't heard that before, Woody.
Yeah.
Woody crazy.
Woody's a hack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's good. So then we won't go with porn. We'll go with what would your gang name be? Could you play a gangster?
Skeeto B.
Skeeto B.
Skeeto B.
He's a wigger. He's an Irish-Finnish wigger.
Skeeto B. What's up, Skeeto B? Yeah, that's what it was in high school. Skeeto B.
That's hilarious. So, and what would your favorite, being from Boston, I know you guys are fucking wicked good.
Yeah.
What is your favorite swear word?
Fuck.
Fuck?
Fuck.
It's gotta be
fuck. So use fuck three times to Drea right now.
Fuck me. Fuck you. But fuck, baby.
Fuck, this has been fun. Jacob Hatt, love you, buddy. Thank you. Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. Woody, Tim.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Peace. All right, guys. Thank you.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here. Stop, children. What's that sound?